Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast, SMX Charlotte review. Thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Tell them you listen to Pulp. Use the code to save. Get some motor work done. Get some suspension work done. Privateer proven. Racetech gold valves will change your life. Use the code. Tell them Pulp sent you. Racetech.com. Away we go.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to Fly Racing RacerX podcast, Charlotte SMX review. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Check out the other shows we do, the Liat Re-Raceables and Steve Mathis Show, Privateer Show, and LVK as well. Lots of things going on in the Steve Mathis feed. If you don't already subscribe, and tell a friend, and we appreciate that. So thank you to Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Chance Hymus, Team USA, Fly Racing guy, and appreciate those guys coming on board for us. 25 years of Fly, whether it's the Evo gear, whether it's Kinetic Mesh, which is super lightweight. Check out Fly Racing, flyracing.com. They got goggles. They got the Formula helmet, which is the pinnacle of helmet technology. And they got lots of things for you, Fly Racing. Head to toe, they'll have you covered. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Get at your local dealer. Go to motorsport.com. And thank you to Fly Racing for all that they do. Great guys, great company. And they support the sport in a number of ways, including we just had a Fly Racing Yamaha ride day at Lakewood. Bradshaw and Pike were out there. Andrew Short. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for all they do for us. And also thank you to folks at Renthal, Monster Energy Kawasaki, Factory Honda, Red Bull KTM. Using Renthal products, Renthal.com, handlebars, chains, sprockets, grips, all of that. You know that, of course. Various colors available. They've got the purple available now, of course. So Renthal.com, mountain bike products as well. And if you check out the Mount Renthal mountain bike site, you can see the stems. You can see different sizes of bars, carbon bars, steel, aluminum bars. Renthal.com for more information on that. Maxxis Tires, Fast Freddy Knorr and Kay Clayson. Using Maxxis Tires at the SMX races. MXSTs developed by Jeremy McGrath. They also have a paddle tire now available. That's all the rage, right? And they have soft intermediate to hard terrain tires. If you haven't thought of Maxxis for a high-end premium tire for your dirt bike for a while, well, think about it now. Maxxis.com. UTV tires, of course. Mountain bike tires, their next level. Maxxis.com. I'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on, of course, on the show. But for now, let's get the JT and Weege talk some SMX, shall we? All right, everybody, now to talk about round one of the Super Motocross Series taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. Lots to get into here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Again, thank you to Fly and Maxxis and Renthal for coming on board with us. Appreciate that. And please use the banner on pulpmex.com to go to motorsport.com. Love those guys, and they help out the outdoors as well with the whole shot thing. So we appreciate that, to make some purchases from motorsport.com. That would be fantastic. First up, the gentleman was a part of the podcast mashup on Friday, part of the press conference on Friday, and then, of course, in the booth on Saturday. It's the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah. Wow, that was a wild weekend. Actually, a wild week preparing for this. JT, I'm sure, would agree that I just felt like I was playing tennis, and I was just trying to ward off forehand, backhand, just trying everything I could, stuff coming at me nonstop. It was fun, but I hope to not have that much going on in a week, every single week. That would be a lot, but it made for a pretty wild weekend. We had a lot of stuff going on. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of neat. Lots to talk about. Also from Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Please check them out. Chance Hymus, Team USA, Fly Racing rider, the Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. I agree with Weege's comments there. That was the busiest week I've had maybe ever as far as prep and work, and there was a lot going on. But in the end, I thought it all came out pretty well. So, let's keep it going.
Year two of the SMX series, I definitely sensed last year a lot of fatigue from the riders and teams, and they had problems. Not problems, but they had they reached down pretty far to get the guys to race this series. But as we talked about earlier, there's been more buy-in this year. And I felt like there was less fatigue from riders and teams about racing this, maybe because they already knew what was going on or whatever. But I did sense I sensed a little more enthusiasm, Weege, from people. I don't know if you did or if you got a chance to talk to people.
At the end, that was a big topic of the press conference, right? How long the season was? Is that what we're talking about? Or you got it from other sides?
No, I was going to get into that. Yeah, I was transitioning into that. But just the feelings from the teams and the riders about the series.
I did not get that as much this year as I did last year. But to be honest, man, going back to my original thing, I literally had probably 2 hours in the pits Saturday morning. I'd say from 8 to 10, I was talking to people. And half of that was 65, so I could learn stuff about that race for TV. So that leaves an hour of total conversations in the pits the entire weekend. So... Okay. I didn't hear that as much as I did last year,
yeah.
But that's a very poor sample size on my end.
Definitely no room for you to come to the press box at all, unlike JT, who stopped in a few times. Just no time for you to do that either. We were one level up, but I guess just couldn't make it happen.
No, literally 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. I basically had something to do. 10 to 7, 9 straight hours. I had not 1 minute of free time on Saturday.
I don't believe you.
Weege talks to a lot of people, though, Steve. Like you got
no. Literally, I was in the booth. I never left the booth, ever.
Well, I mean, there was time before 10 a.m.
8 to 10, and that was my 2 hours in the pits. And I spent an hour of that talking to 65 CC people. So there, I had 2 hours total.
Talking to 65 people.
Hmm. Okay.
Out of 2 hours, I had 2 total hours of free time all day to try to get every story that I possibly could for TV. That's a lot. That's a lot of stories I'm trying to track in 2 hours. Why would I go to the press box at 9:30? Why would I do that?
I got some stories about the 65 rider. We'll get into that.
Oh, I know you got some takes.
The big news kind of press. Look, great race. We'll get into that. But I think the bigger news after the end of the day was the press conference. I didn't go to it, but I watched the clip on social. And Eli didn't really go in hard about the questions about the long season. Eli was like, there's more money, more races, more money. And I haven't been here for 2 years due to injury. And Jet and Chase were pretty critical of the long races. But, there is more money for these guys to get it. On the other hand, I think the powers that be, from what we hear, would say, hey, man, you guys go to Paris for money and World Supercross for money. And so don't tell us about, adding extra races because you're going to do it anyways. Straight Rhythm was a number of years. So, yeah, a little bit of standoff, I think, between – and I see both sides, Weege. I see both sides to this because, the SMX is more serious, more effort than a Paris or a Straight Rhythm or Geneva back in the day or even World Supercross for that matter. So it is different, but the promoters and the people in powers that be have a valid point about you race for money in the off seasons a lot of times. So – Yeah,
there's a lot of different ways to look at it. There is. And look, we're living this life as well. I mean, I would be joking if I said it's not long. Like the off season, what it really is, people talk about injuries. Every single year ever is the year where it seems like everybody gets injured. Sexton was talking about how only 4 guys made it to every race this year. I mean, there's been years where 1 guy made it to every race.
Yeah, we actually got off pretty good this year. We really did.
This actually, yes. I know it always seems crazy with Nashville last year, guys getting hurt, and the thumb injuries this year. But it's really no different than any other year, whether you had 25 races or 31. Mm-hmm. The injury thing is just a sliding scale. It's just kind of luck. It's going to end up averaging out to be about the same no matter what you do. But the one thing I think that is fair to say is the offseason is just so darn short. I don't think there's many athletic sports that have this short of an off season. I kind of laugh when I hear the guys say, well, what you really do is you put in your hard training in the off season and then you just taper through the year. And I'm like, that's like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're maintaining for 46 weeks of the year. We're really training hard for 6. It's such a short off season. I think that's really where the focus seems to be, because the injury thing, like, there's 100 factors. There's 1,000,000 factors. I mean, I literally see people making comments comparing, like, the injuries to, like, car racing, and I'm like, there's a massive difference there. You could have one race and you'd have more injuries in a motorcycle race than a car race. Like, that's not it. But I do agree the off season somehow is too short. But yes, I do see the promoters saying, well, if we had a longer off season, guess what? You guys just race anyway. Yeah. And another thing is, at least you are being rewarded for your participation. Like, if there's, you know, if Jet Lawrence wins a Supercross, how much money do you make? 150 grand, probably?
Yeah.
Right. So if there's five fewer Supercrosses, that's potentially $500,000 less money that he at least could make. Like, they are getting paid essentially to race. It's not quite as tragic as some people would make it, but I do agree that the off season is just too short. I think that's the thing you got to focus on. The off season is too short. Well, I don't know how you do it any other way, but that's where we're at.
Well, I mean, three SMX and the week off, because the week off was still kind of grinding. So we've added 4 weeks to the schedule. JT, you lived it, and I did too as a mechanic a little bit. But November 1 is the start of boot camps, and if you go to the end of September here, and if you're Sexton and Hymus and AP, now you're in the first week of October. 3 weekends off of October, and you are in boot camp November, and you can certainly understand these guys saying, I have 3 weeks out of 52?
Yeah, no, I do understand the argument. I have heard that some of those guys will push the start of boot camp a little later, like mid-November, late November, and get like 6 weeks in of it, because they don't really fall out of shape. You know, they don't have to really kind of get back into shape. It's just more maybe a little bit of rust to knock off, but it's not like they gain a bunch of weight or do anything like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, my viewpoint is probably not fair to judge the same way that, like, Jet Lawrence sees it, because I would go race anyway, right? If I was racing in the months of October and November, October a little bit less, but all of November and all of December I was racing. But that was how I made money, right? If Jet and Chase Sexton and those guys don't race, they still get paid a lot of money to be taking time off and recovering. I didn't. So I needed to go race. So I just was like, yeah, I got to go make money. Let's go racing. So it's different. And I can certainly appreciate their viewpoint. It is a long season, but that's not anything I ever looked at and was like, just wasn't a thought in my head. I was like, yeah, man, I got to keep racing to go make money anyway. So let's just keep it going. Like, it's hard for me to insert myself into it because I didn't see it the same way they did.
Well, but you can put yourself in the shoes of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I don't, like, I listen to the press conference, or I watch a press conference, and I do understand that 31 races a lot, but I don't look at it and say, like, you know, they had some pretty harsh words for it, and I don't feel that way. So I guess I'll just leave it there.
A couple things here. Every other sport, I think, has this same battle. That the only thing I have pushback on at all is when I see people getting super fired up and compare it to other sports. If you follow other sports, they have this exact same argument everywhere. Everywhere. The football players would like to have fewer games. Guess why they don't have fewer games? There's more revenue when you have more games. The NBA, everybody on earth involved with the NBA is like, you know what would be ideal? It should start at Christmas, not Halloween. But that's 2 months of revenue we don't get. And racing is the same thing. Like the MotoGP calendar, JT, you follow that. It keeps getting longer and longer. The F1 calendar gets longer and longer. It's the same.
MXGP, longer.
It all keeps getting longer. Every sport has the same argument. I just want everyone to know that everyone wrestles the same thing. We want to make the same amount of money. Everybody does. Not just the organizers or the league, the athletes too. They all want to make the same amount of money or more, but they also want to do less events or less games or less races. And until someone can crack that mathematical code, you're basically saying we want to make the same amount of money, but we want to do less stuff. And it's the same conundrum that every sports league has, all of them. It's the same.
I will say, if you were on the side of these extra races are too many, at least, the riders made that point, at least they're being well compensated for their time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Tomac, that was
if
Tomac.
If they just added races for nothing, like, then I could be like, man, yeah, that's, you're just adding more. Like, but they made that point. I don't think they love it, but at least they're there's a lot of money to be to go make if you're going to be asked to do more racing.
Yeah, and the motocross payout is not very good compared to supercross and super motocross. So,
but that's irrelevant for those guys.
No, I'm saying if they're doing it, you know, well, so there's not really any SMX bonuses for these guys from teams.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, SMX basically said, what is your bonus? Yeah. We'll just pay the bonus.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like they get bonuses for motocross and supercross from the factories. There's nothing for SMX, but it is through the purse. It's big. And even privateers, right? Like, I looked last year. I think it was Luke Neese didn't make any mains, didn't come close to it. Three races, $6,000, you know, which is good for a guy like Luke Neese. So there's real money at stake, real money to pay out here at these SMX races.
Here there is, yeah. But, I mean, and the guys we hear complaining or talk about this, I mean, this is Chase Sexton and Jed Lawrence. I mean, again, if there's six fewer nationals, that's maybe $600,000 that Sexton would not have made this summer. So they are making money when they race, as long as they do well. But that's what these guys expect to do, you know? So it's just such a conundrum. I just want everybody to know there's either purse or bonuses. They're always getting paid if they race and they do as well as they expect to do. So it's just a tough math thing to say, like, I would like to make the same amount of money, but I would like to do less. But I get it. The off season is too short. I just don't know. And by the way, we did try Tuesday races in 2021 and no one showed up. So that doesn't work either. So I don't know what you do, and every sport's wrestling the same problem.
I've said this before. I was shocked when we all know why these races came about. NBC wanted playoffs and they wanted, you know, blah, 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 and the money came in, and I love the MX Sports and Feld working together, but I was shocked they added three races, really two, because they lost the one national, because I heard for 15 years from every team they wanted less races, you know, and this was a way to get a contract, a TV contract, and get money. I understand that, but holy crap, did I ever hear from managers for 15 years about how there's too many races, you know, so... I was pretty shocked that it all came together, but it is. It's here, and that's it. But
yeah, it's long, man.
I don't believe there is a true problem. I don't. Right? Like in the end, people are gonna complain about everything. The things I listen to Steve complain about sometimes blow my mind. Right? Like riders saying there's too many races. Yeah. Just like we just point. Players think there's too many games.
But the players don't want to make less money.
Right? Is there a true and real problem though? I would say no. That's my
opinion. Yeah. That's the whole thing. I think everybody's searching for a perfect world in all sports. How can we make the same amount of money or more and do a little less? And you'll never solve that conundrum. They have a very valid point. I do feel the season is too long, but I don't know how to fix it. And by the way, they make more money every time they race, so it doesn't hurt. And then I could see two other things. You mentioned an important detail. This is more serious. The only thing I can see that is, yes, if they fill it in with Red Bull Straight Rhythm and Paris and all these other races just to make money, you sound kind of like a hypocrite. But look, we're probably about to judge Chase Sexton really harshly, probably in the next 5 minutes on this podcast, right? And I could see his point being like, bro, you can show up to Paris, take your start money, and get sixth. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
here, it's different. I got to like really be good or everyone's going to say I suck.
Yep. Yep, there is that. Absolutely.
I feel like Hunter Lawrence last year. We saw it with Hunter Lawrence. I think Hunter Lawrence is like, dude, I just did my job. I won both 250 titles. I'm out of gas.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And I mean, at the end, Hunter was in position to win the 250 class. And, you know, we don't know how serious his back injury was, but he just was like, nah, I got a back injury, you know, at the Coliseum. So,
So maybe what we see is in these races, like, it worked out so far.
Yeah.
Two guys who missed a bunch of time are coming in fired up. And maybe Chase Sexton is like, dude, I'm out of gas. You guys just came back.
Yeah, you gotta gear up for it, right? You gotta get mentally ready to go. One thing I did find I tweeted this out earlier, a little informal poll of like factory and privateer teams, and I did this last year, and it seemed so. The purse money goes to the teams for SMX, and I'm finding that, and I don't know. I think this is a change from last year, but you know, unscientific. Polling, I think more teams are keeping money this year, you know, because this is expenses for these teams, right? And it wasn't in their budgets, and the chain company and the gear company aren't paying any more for these races. And so the promoters said, hey, we'll pay you the teams to do these races, and you figure out how to pay the riders. Now, I did hear Star last year held back 20%. I didn't find out this year, but I talked to some factory teams. Every team I talked to, factory and privateer teams, were holding money back for riders.
Yeah, I think that's going to become more in the future. And I know that sounds horrible, but JT and I were actually talking about this on Friday. You know, NASCAR got to the point where, like, for the teams, it is a true revenue model. Like, we are striving to make these playoffs. That is where we get the most attention. Mm-hmm. That's where we get the most sponsor dollars. And we do generate revenue through this. Obviously, the driver, they're not getting any of the money. They're still probably getting the majority of the money. But I think they are trying to open that up.
Yeah.
As a model. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if you're Club of Max, you're like, well, here's the choice. We cannot support it all, and you cannot raise and not make the money, or you can keep 70% of it, which is money you wouldn't have made anyway. And Now we get to go. I probably see it going in that direction even more. I mean, Phil's going to get paid, right?
Well, talk about complaining.
He'll complain either way.
Yeah.
Like, he's not getting no money.
No.
He's probably getting the majority of the money.
I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's great these teams get a little bit of money. I'm fine with it. Yeah. And then
I think you've always said that, actually, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to help these guys.
It sounds tragic, but I almost think it could become a halfway decent model, especially if it convinces, like, the Mad Parts, Bubba Pauly level teams to help their guys go to the races and get paid.
Yeah. And I mean, look at guys like Fly Racing or the chain company or whatever. Like, everyone is strapped and tapped out and, like,
yeah,
you know, no, we're not going to give you any more money for three more races. So, you know, the teams can try to recoup some expenses this way. So,
hey, wait, this begs the question. You're right. Forever, we heard everyone was like, we need to race less, not more. And then we're like, well, how did they suddenly agree to race three more times? Was it seriously like, actually, the only problem was money?
Yeah, maybe. Right. Yeah.
If you just find a way to offset the cost a little bit, we're totally down.
That does fix a lot of things. Yes.
Maybe it did.
Yes. Money fixes a lot of things. Let's get into the race a little bit. Jet Lawrence, man. That was surprising. He, you know, we saw Coop come back with a thumb injury. We saw Eli come back with a thumb injury. Neither guy was himself. They had longer to recover than Jet. And, Jet was better than those guys right out of the bat. And he wins the overall, hunts down Eli in the second one. JT, all of us were thinking, like, hey, Jet, just get a top five, man, and get better and build from here. And, dude, he was I'm not going to say the class of the field because Eli pretty much straight up matched him, 2-1, 1-2, and all of that. But Jet was amazing. This is not good for 2025 Supercross, JT.
I'm in shock at how good he was.
Yes.
I really am. I was told by, and I'll give Ricky credit, he told me on Friday night, he's like, And he talks to Johnny O'Mara, right? And Johnny, I talked to Johnny after the race, and Johnny's like, yeah, I have to be really careful with, like, where I think Jet is and also what I tell you guys because it creates an expectation that might not be fair. And like, I totally understood where Johnny was coming from. But he said, like, yeah, I told Ricky, like, I think we're in a decent spot, right? Like, I don't think we're coming in just trying to salvage some points and move forward. Like, I think we're in an okay spot. And so Ricky relayed that to me. He's like, I think he might be better than where you're putting him, right? And that played out to fruition. I just thought a podium would be good. Get through the races, even if it's like a 5-6, that's okay, right? And then work from that, improve in Fort Worth, improve in Vegas, and see where you're at, right? We know how this points mm-hmm. thing goes. If he's anywhere close going into Vegas, you can win it at Vegas. He was so far past my expectations. I want to say I feel stupid, but I really didn't know. You know, I'm more shocked and impressed at how quickly he recovered and got back to this level. Like, he deserves so much credit for that little of riding and that level of performance.
He said,
I get yelled at for being, you know, kind of like being mesmerized by Jet, but what do you want me to do? Like, he rides for 3 weeks after an injury, comes back and wins the first race back. Like, I don't know how you don't give him tons of credit.
His second fastest lap was on lap 10 of 13 in the second moto, barely slower than his fastest lap. So the fitness was great. I talked to one of the Honda guys, and they said, like, so when he hurt his shoulder, he couldn't train or anything, right? And it kind of showed. And then they said this thumb injury, like, he was aggressive off the bike with fitness right away with Johnny and everybody. They said they were pretty surprised at how hard – one of the Honda guys told me they were pretty surprised at how hard they were, he was going right away. I think I said publicly, because I got some tweets about it, that if Jet wins this SMX thing, I'm going to retire because 2025 Supercross isn't going to be much fun. I might have to just retire because, like, it's pretty shocking. It's shocking.
Yeah, I'm not going to retire because going back to our previous conversation, I do get paid for each race I go to.
Yeah,
So, again, everybody, the revenue pie is larger when there's more events. But, yes, your overall point, I'm right with you, JT. I mean, we get a lot of pushback on all the media does is just talk about how awesome Jet Lawrence is or stop talking about Jet Lawrence. Like, we are looking at stuff that, I mean, this could be like the best ever when this is all said and done. I know that sounds crazy and insane, but he won the Supercross title and the motocross title in his first full seasons in the Premier class. Who else has done that? No one. Jeremy McGrath was not the best motocross rider as a rookie. Ricky Carmichael was not the best Supercross rider as a rookie. So now he does this. Now it's like 66 days. This shouldn't be possible. We really tried hard to give Chase Sexton full credit and not just run the, well, yeah, but Jet wasn't there. We didn't want to play that game. But it's getting harder and harder and harder to do anything but just say, this dude's unreal. This dude's amazing. This dude's one in a million. Whatever you want to say. Like, how do we not just say that? And that's pretty much the entire story.
It's pretty impressive, man. Caught catching Eli, you know, like,
yeah.
He kind of just looked like the Jet of old. No problem. I got this. Just slowly. What it reminded me of, what Supercross race was that where Eli led 12 laps and Jet just slowly caught him? They had a kind of battle for 3 laps. Then he pulled away. It was like one of Eli's best races of the year. Was it St. Louis? Was it?
They had a good battle in St. Louis for a bit. Yeah.
It just reminded me of that a little bit, right? Like, because Eli, well, look, Eli, he's wide open anyways. But to me, Eli's pushing it. He looked at it, not sketchy because he's Eli Tomac, but he looked like he's pushing it. Bike was kicking out a little bit. Body language was all over the place because I felt like he was pushing because he saw Jet coming and Jet looked like he was Jet Lawrence out for a spin and caught him. You know, doubling into the sand was really good. So if he lost any time at all to Eli, he could double into the sand, make it right back up. Wow. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, I don't know what else we're supposed to say. Like, this is... And at least at St. Louis, it was like, you know what, man? Eli really can go Jet speed. Like, hey, if he had a real offseason, if he isn't coming off an Achilles. But now we don't even get to use that with anybody else because now Jet himself is also coming back from an injury. Yeah. So we don't even get to use that anymore. Like, I don't know what else we're supposed to say. I feel like we're not doing our job unless we just say the dude's unreal.
Yep. Yeah, he's unreal.
I mean, he's awesome. Again, none of these other guys, honestly, were having this level of success. I'm not going to say they weren't this good, but they were not having this level of success this early in this class. They were not.
And guess what? He's going to be better in Dallas.
And he's going to be better in 2025 because he was a rookie, and they couldn't get him as a rookie. Yeah. You normally get better each year.
Great race for Eli Tomac coming back. JT, were you surprised you didn't see more guys with the scoop for the second moto? I talked to Glover, and he said no, nobody really switched.
I was not. Ricky was. Ricky was kind of trying to chase that story right before the second moto, thinking that guys would be like, oh man, Tomac was on it. We need to. And we were kind of going back and forth. I'm like, I don't think so, because I think they were okay with their decision and the track only got harder, you know, in the 2 hours since they raced. It was going to get drier and more hard packed. And when it's only one guy, like if you're Chase, if you're Jet, if you're Hunter, you're like, I don't want it. And if it's just Tomac, and they're probably asking, right? Like, is anybody switching? And if nobody switches, I think they're just going to stick with what they have. So it didn't really shock me. I think Eli kind of committed to it and was sticking with it. Everybody else was like, yeah, I'm going to go with what I feel most comfortable on if, you know, there's only going to be one guy that's not.
Eli's really good on these hybrid tracks. Now, this isn't a speedway track, per se of what we saw at Atlanta or, you know, help me out, Atlanta and other places. This is
Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. This is sort of like
he didn't race them last year, though.
Yeah, he didn't race Chicago, but
he's
whatever speedway he's races. Yeah,
high speed tracks.
Yeah,
high speed tracks are his thing. And kudos to Adam Cincirillo, who called that out in the pre-show and kind of all weekend long. He was making mention of that. So great job by him. But yeah, you could really see it from even Friday. He was just crazy aggressive and was kind of feeling it. And we talked about this in the press conference. He was really like energetic. Yeah. His question answering, like it was probably the most engaged Eli I've seen in a long time, as far as on a speaking basis. And I don't think those two things are a coincidence. I think he knew that it was going to be a good weekend for him.
Yeah. I mean, look, Ironman went okay for him. He got on the box, a little fortunate, but he got on the box but he was a much better guy this weekend than Ironman. And he says he doesn't like these types of tracks, but he's good at them. So, yeah. I had a couple of texts from riders that said it's unreal that he used a scoop out there. Unreal. So,
yeah.
You know?
There were sections that seemed unreal that you would do.
I've never used it outside of sand, so I don't know how bad of the difference. I've used it a lot in the sand,
yeah,
but I haven't used it on a track. These
are guys that were in the main with him, and they were like,
"Yeah, no, I know." They were like, I just don't have
the
much
hell power. Was he thinking? So, yeah.
Hey, one thing, JT, I think that we need to mention with the scoop thing, because you've done a great job of like being on it last couple of years. Now that you're as a reporter down there, but like there is an element of some guys. It's not just track conditions. Some guys just like it better, and some guys just don't. In general, with their style or whatever,
not
right?
A fan. Justin Cooper doesn't practice on it. He doesn't use it unless they basically force him to. He does not want to use it.
Zacco was one of those guys. Zacco would have used it every day, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like some guys just like it.
One guy told me it's better off the grate. It's better off the grate than a regular tire.
No.
And I'm like, oh.
Well,
okay.
I know, like, you remember that 7.62 tire that we used to run? Which if you really want to look at kind of how this all progressed, like, that was the first kind of move towards it. A wildly aggressive tire that shouldn't work, and Dunlop at the time didn't want us to run it because they didn't sell it. But that knob, when you're under full gas like that on the start, that knob folds over and it just kind of adds more like traction area, you know, like it's more coverage area. It's not like staying a full hard knob, like it kind of bends over, so it's not like a full, like if you're using like a Glamis paddle tire. It doesn't do that. Like, the knob kind of rolls, so I think it's okay.
Yeah. So,
hey, one other thing with Eli. Is there a chance that, even though, yes, he was injured with the thumb, kind of going back to where Jit was, is there a chance he's actually fitter in a way than he was at the beginning of Supercross, even though he had another injury? Like, this isn't as bad an injury as an Achilles. He's probably been riding a freaking mountain bike insane for now going on almost a year now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was told about Jet, right? Still able to do all the cardio, everything he needed to do. So
maybe. And with an Achilles, he's not doing anything.
I mean, we could ask him. He probably won't tell us, but we could ask him.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Hey, Eli, how much training did you do? He'll just look at you, silent.
How about when Phil tried to get him?
Yeah.
He was on Pulp, Steve, remember? And Phil tried to get, like, data on that training.
Yeah, how much training do you do? Yeah, yeah.
How many hours a week? Oh, I don't know, man. Then he was asked about is he using supercross or motocross suspension? Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure what I'm running, he says.
Yeah.
Press conference. You're not going to get any info.
Most guys,
I have a question.
The only guys I saw that ran motocross suspension was Marshall Welton. Everyone else ran supercross stuff. So,
Good luck.
I have a question. Well, it's not so much a question. When we were battling about this Motocross Nations thing, this is why I was always like, I don't know if we're making the right call here. And in the end, Tomac made the call, right? Like, he made the decision on his own. But this is why I pushed back against, and Steve, I'm not going at you, but you were like, no, it's got to be AP. Like, no question about it. It's got to be AP. And I'm like, okay, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not, because AP has beaten him, and AP has been really good. But this is why this is why I wanted to push it to Ironman. This is why I wanted to give Eli a chance, because I know where Eli's top end is. And I'm not saying that he would go to Matterly and win. I'm not. But my honest belief is, when AP and Tomac are both riding at their best, Tomac has a much higher their ceiling. And data would support that. That's not an egregious statement. But this type of ride is why I wanted Tomac to remain in the conversation as long as possible.
Yeah, in the end, he took himself out. So
he did. I know. I know. But I'm saying, like, because I was getting pushback, people on Twitter, you a little bit, right? Not aggressively, but, like, people are like, no, like, just give it to AP. It needs to be. And I'm like, can we just wait and see, right? Can we just wait? And in the end, it didn't matter. He didn't perform at the races he needed to. But here we are, and this was my biggest fear, is Tomac might be fantastic in September, and he's going to be sitting in Colorado when we're in England.
Yeah. I mean, I would come back and be like, this is SMX, not motocross. But sure. I mean, I get it. But, yeah, I think it's...
But there's no way you can say that when they're at their best that AP is better than Tomac. You can't. Like, you simply can't.
No. But
if there were three more nationals in September, would the difference be any different? Do you really think this is just an SMX thing?
I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
You don't know. Yeah. You're saying you don't know.
Well, just because how, like, Eli got the start, super hard track to pass on. He rode great, not taking anything away from him. But, like, AP fell, had crashes. I'm not ready to be like, oh, man, we made the wrong choice. Like,
I'm not saying that. Yeah. But what we just question, when you say you don't know, I think is you're being a little dismissive, I think.
Eli Tomac's a very good rider.
He is.
Yeah, slightly.
Chase Sexton, third. We each go.
Yeah, so like I said, maybe it took us 10 minutes to get here, but this is the problem, right? We basically, and it's not just us, I feel like almost everybody in public and then even more in private, it was like, if Jet Lawrence beats Chase Sexton in his first race back, coming off of an injury, that is a disaster. So lo and behold, that's what happened.
It's not good.
So
it's not good.
Do we have to all back out? Do we got to back out on our takes now? Like everybody? Does everybody need to like suddenly go 180 and be like, ah, it's just one race or it's SMX, it's an adjustment? Or I hadn't considered this. Maybe Sexton is like, I thought I was going to ramp it up after Ironman, and then I got on the track Friday and Saturday, and I'm like, dude, I used the adrenaline button. I don't have anything left. Maybe all those things are factors. But we did pitch this is a disaster if Jet beats him immediately, and now that happened. So what else are we supposed to say?
Yeah, I know he was not doing interviews after the race, but from people I talked to, not happy with his bike, very unhappy with his bike setup. But either way, JT, it's not good.
It's not good. And I really like Chase Sexton, right? So this pains me to kind of take this approach to it. I truly, like, I'm a Chase Sexton fan. I like the way he handles himself. He's always incredibly respectful. Those things go a long way with me. So this brings me no joy to think this way, but that is a brutal thing for Chase, in my opinion, mentally, to go through. All of us are kind of on record as saying, like, he needed to show continuation and just kind of like, yeah, cool, Jet's back, but, like, I'm the guy right now. And I thought he would. Really did think he would. He showed us signs. He was fast in practice.
Yep.
He was doing all the right things. But I would also say, I don't remember which shows I talked about it, but I know I was I'm on record somewhere as saying that the start was going to be hypercritical at this race. And Chase Sexton's starts have not been great. And it's been the one thing that I thought could keep him from success, especially at Charlotte, would be the start. And there we were. He had to move forward every single time, and he simply couldn't. I don't think he was too slow. I don't. He was right with those guys. He even closed up to those guys. But somehow, he has a real problem passing Jet Lawrence. He's done it. It's not like it's impossible, but it's still something he struggles with, and we saw it again this weekend.
He made some gains in Moto2 to catch up to Jet, but then Jet caught up to Eli, and those two kicked it up. He couldn't match it. And that's when
I think he got mentally frustrated. I really do. Like, and you can, you know, the bike can be a factor in that. I'm not saying that he was thrilled with the motorcycle. I'm not. But at the same time, Jet's never raced his motorcycle. You know, like, that's a part of it. And Adam Cincirillo has done a great job of sharing that. It's like, yeah, man, the bike's not always going to be perfect. And sometimes you just have to ride through the motorcycle not being perfect, you know?
Yeah, he didn't get the starts he needed, but he also, Jet didn't either, and Jet caught Eli Tomac. and passed them.
No, it's a tough weekend mentally for Chase Sexton. It really is, man. It's a tough look. I cannot stress enough how little, like, I'm not smiling when I say that. Like, I truly believe, like, mentally, it's going to be a really tough week for Chase Sexton, and I don't want that for him.
No. Yeah. I agree. We all like Chase. Great guy. And like for all the reasons you said, but it's not good. It's not good.
It's not. And nobody should feel sorry for him, right? Multimillionaire, pro motocross champion, former supercar. Like, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? It's like in the big scheme of real
problems,
he's going to be fine, right? But in the sports world, that was a tough one.
You know what'll be interesting when this all shakes out 8 or 10 years when all these guys are done racing? You know, I had a lot of chance to hang out with Kevin Windham lately. He was at the Redders with us all week, and then he was at Ironman. Kevin Windham kind of back in the public eye. And all Kevin Windham wants to do now, he wants to be as self-effacing as possible. He makes fun of himself for getting second a lot. And now it's like, nah, man, you're Kevin Windham. You're a legend. You're awesome. We all think you're amazing and great, and you're a hero, and no one disrespects his career at all. But at the time, in like, whatever, there's probably a 5-year span where it's like, man, if Kevin could just get out of his own head, he could beat Ricky, he could beat Stu, he could do this, if he could just get out of his own head. And now we just look back and we're like, actually, we're just going against two of the best riders ever, certainly the best rider ever. Most of his career was against Ricky. And it's just like, ah, what are you going to do? You didn't really suck. It's not really your fault. We don't mean any disrespect. You were just going against someone that was unfreaking believable, and you were the only one we believed that could do it, so you got the majority of the blowback at the time. Probably Chad certainly faced this a lot too. He just had a little more success against him, so it wasn't quite as harsh, because at least Chad did get some titles. I just wonder when we look back at all this, is going to be like, man, there was a lot of harsh what's wrong with Chase Sexton, and the only thing that's wrong is he was going against someone who's just unfreaking believable.
Yeah, I mean, to flip it a little bit, Wyndham never won any premier titles. Chase has two. But they were, you know.
Yeah, but if Carmichael breaks his thumb in the middle of the Nationals one year.
Wyndham never got fortunate. Nothing has to be wrong with Sexton. He could just not be quite as good as Jet. Like, that can be true, right? It doesn't have to be something's wrong.
Yeah.
It can just be maybe this guy's just a little bit better.
But like, I don't feel like anyone's saying that right now, right? What's wrong with Sexton?
Sexton's better than everybody else, pretty much.
He is.
Right? So everybody else is looking at Sexton going, I can't beat this guy, right? So if Sexton has to look at one guy and say, I can't beat him, well,
I would push back a little bit. Hunter beat him in the first moto, and if he battled Jet to the death and went 2-2, you just go, oh, man, great races. Jet just got the start. Tough track to pass on.
What are you pushing back on? I don't know what you're pushing back on.
Like,
he's not beating everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
right. But I'm saying he's better than everybody else. You don't think he's better than everybody else? Because I will go on record as saying that I believe he is better than everybody else, especially right now, than maybe Jet.
Well, he just went 4-3.
Yeah, but he just won 6 nationals in a row.
I know, but we're on a different series.
Just average this out.
We're at a different series. We're at super motocross, hybrid track. Like, it's a different thing. Like,
yeah, but we're just average it out.
He was catching those guys. Like, okay, if you want to be a victim of the moment and say that Eli Tomac was better than Jet, it is better than Jet because of the first moto, then, we'd go round and round with this forever. You know, like, was Julian Beaumaire the best rider in the world for the first 10 minutes of the first 50 moto? You know, like, I'm not, that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. I just believe that in most situations, most races, supercross, motocross, over the course of 31, I think Chase Sexton's better than everybody, but arguably Jet. That's all I'm trying to say.
Sure, but we're talking, you know, this race right now, and it wasn't.
I'm not, though. Yeah. Like, you are. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm saying in the big picture of Chase. And we weren't just talking about the Chase, because we just talked about Wyndham and big picture and legacy. It can be true that Chase is awesome and there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe it just isn't quite as good as Jet.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Just like Wyndham was actually just awesome and he just wasn't as good as Ricky Carmichael, and there's no shame in that.
Sexton's already better than Kevin Wyndham. Already.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We know that. Okay. But that's not going to – is anyone – Is anyone a fan of it? He's everything is negative on Chase Sexton right now. Everyone's reaction to Chase Sexton right now. No one's saying he's awesome. He's just not as good as Jet. They're saying, why is Jet in his head? It's all negative. What's wrong with Chase?
We can hit record.
Not as much wrong. As I always say, no one ever said this about Andrew Short. No one ever said, what's wrong with Shorty? Why can't he beat Stu? No one ever said that. And then last year, Jet is a perfect season, and it's like, I can't believe Chase Sexton couldn't beat him once. No one said Plessinger didn't beat him. No one said Anderson didn't beat him. It's just Chase.
Well, Sexton gets held to a different standard. Sexton's better.
He gets held to a different standard. The nasty part
of high expectations.
Exactly. And to your point, JT, he does get paid a lot of money, and he has also, to your point, Steve, won some titles and gotten huge money for that, too. So it's not all tragic, but it is a very high or even double standard that you get in the moment. Because, everybody else gets – nobody's bagging on Tomac right now. That was awesome.
Yeah. Nobody was mad at me when Ricky beat me, but I was never expected to beat Ricky.
Nobody paid
to beat Ricky. Nobody ever thought I was going to beat Ricky. But Chase, for good and bad, people are looking at him like, you can beat Jet. So when you don't, people look at you and wonder why.
Yeah.
So now we're back onto the it wasn't a good race for Chase, he's a great rider, but he just got beat by Jet.
It wasn't. But I think Weege's point is
you guys are saying the same thing twice, right? I get it, but
I fully understand what Weege is saying. I'm not really sure where you're coming down on this, but that's okay. It doesn't matter.
Steve, are you trying to make the argument that actually, hey man, we can't judge this? It was just one race, because I don't feel like anyone is being that fair about it.
Well. There is that just one race, but for all the reasons that we said, he didn't battle Jet to the death and get second. He wasn't that close. And Jet came off an injury.
For a lot of the race, he was.
Okay. And he's coming off an injury. I'm not hitting the panic button. I am not.
I'm on record as saying this was a very bad weekend for Chase. Very bad weekend.
Yeah. So,
mentally. But I also think that Weege's point can be true of like, Nobody else is getting in trouble for not beating Jet. So there is that side of it too. The expectation of how awesome you are can be looked at negatively when you don't get the job done.
Well,
how did you, you live that every day with Chad Reed.
Okay. But again,
every day.
Chase is getting paid to beat Jet and be the guy. Yeah. So this is,
and so is Chad Reed.
So you can't compare him to, and Chad would get the same thing. I mean, Chad's got the whole thing. You never beat Carmichael, right? He was hurt. Right? That was Chad's thing that
lingered. Chad, all you got to do is go faster than James Stewart on a supercross track. What's wrong with you?
I mean, I can hit record and we can be like, hey, man, everybody's great. Great race in Charlotte. Thanks for listening. We can do that, too, if you guys want. We could just be like, everybody's great. They're amazing riders.
No, that's not the point we're trying to make at all.
I mean, you're saying
the point we're trying to make is I think there's going to be so much over the next course of these years of what's wrong with Sexton, and it's going to turn out there was nothing wrong. He did the best he could.
Yeah, but I agree, 100%.
Yeah.
But we still have to talk about how his expectations are coming off the 450s and coming into against a guy that was injured.
And this weekend we said would be a disaster if he lost, and he lost.
Okay, now let's go back to that. Hunter Lawrence, 3-6, kind of second moto was a little bit like Iron Man, a little bit, like, yeah. Just, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to talk to him after the race or anything, but, you know, first moto was good, second moto not so good. Ken Roczen was happy after the race, 5-5 for Kenny. He got a little spicy in, was it the second one? When he got Chase? Or first one?
I think it was second.
He got by Chase for a few laps, and then Chase got him back.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Ken Roczen, he got some tests done and figured out a little bit of his issue, I heard, from Larry Brooks. I did an interview with Larry after the race. So whatever was bugging him, I think what was bugging him was the 250F. That's what was bugging him when he was battling with Pierce Brown, huh, Weege?
Oh.
But he was happy.
I don't believe that to be true.
So, JT, he was happy after the race. Kellen and Lewis talked to him, and I talked to Brooks. Should he be at a 5-5?
I watched an interview with him, with Lewis. Yeah. I don't know that, like, happy is the perfect word. I think he felt like his pace was pretty good. He didn't get the starts he wanted, but I think he's looking at it through the lens of, like, did he ride well or not? And I think he felt like he was riding pretty well, right? He knows he needs to get up there on the start. He needs to be in the fight. He can't close the gap down to those guys. Like, everybody's going too fast, and he doesn't have an edge over them. But if you look at Unadilla and you look at Iron Man, where he just wasn't right, things didn't go his way. He kind of fell apart at the end of both motos, or all those motos. This was a step forward from there. So it's progress, right? I don't think in any world, really, Kenny looks at a 5-5 and is like, yeah, I'm happy, you know? But, like, it was better, so he'll take it and move forward.
7-4 for Justin Cooper, Ouija. Qualified quickest, and he led some laps in the second one. So I think if you're Justin Cooper, you're okay with a 7-4. You're fine.
Yes. It is funny when he gets to start, and you know what Tomac – because Tomac did some serious damage in the opening laps of the first moto, and you know Tomac wants to do the exact same thing.
Yep.
So I can't even imagine what it's like to have to hear that behind you, teammate or not. I mean, Tomac, we know, doesn't care about teammates. He cares about Eli Tomac, which is what makes Eli Tomac Eli Tomac. I can't even imagine those first two laps and what that's like when Eli's like, my goal here, this is not going to be beast mode today where I pass everyone in the last 5 minutes. I'm trying to get a 5-second lead in the first two laps. Because it worked in the first moto.
Yeah, and he was going apeshit behind Justin Cooper trying to do
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Just what you must hear.
Yeah, can you imagine? Just clutch Gary, in, Tomac. Throttle in, and Dude. The Yamaha sucking air.
Oh, and just the clutch abuse, it's just unbelievable to hear how Eli rides. When you don't hear it for a while, and then he's back, and then you realize how different it is than everyone else, it is like, this bike doesn't have enough power, everybody. This out of control 60 horsepower 450, it does not have enough power. I'm going to have to drag race out of every single corner to try to get more power because I want to be even faster. That's how aggro I am.
Yeah. Malcolm Stewart, 8-7, looked to have a little bit of trouble in the sand, which I was bugging Ramsey about, his team manager. I don't know how the Florida guy has trouble in the sand, but we had a bird's eye view of that sand section from that press box. And, Malcolm struggled a little bit through there. But both Malcolm and Craig got good starts in the second one. Dropped back a little bit. But, 8-7 on the day. JTAP had a bad day. Fake start. The fake start got him. And then he went down again in practice, I think, the next practice or whatever. He was beat up, I heard. Fake start, though. Gets these guys.
Yeah, I hate the fake start. I don't get it. I don't think I'm ever going to get it. It's the most dangerous part of the race, and you're going to add one for – no reason at all. And this was one of the biggest crashes we've seen in the 450 class on the fake start, maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally watched the video and just shook my head because it's the same thing. I've been watching guys crash in both classes and wondering what the hell they're doing.
We got a text afterwards from a guy from New York. This is why I don't let those idiots bug me or something. I don't know what he was saying about the fake start. Yep.
I don't claim to have everything figured out, but I've never watched those and said, yeah, that's worth it. Never.
Yeah. By the way, Barcia out early with a nasty crash on Friday, and Anderson too. Anderson tried to ride qualifying, but both Anderson and Barcia, ugly crashes. So, bummer for those dudes.
Yeah.
I didn't see Barcia crash. Where did he crash at?
Is that
Barcia?
Barcia? Did you see the Casey Cochran crash?
Yes.
It was kind of like that. Okay. Same spot.
The rhythm. Clipped it with his back tire and got thrown over. Colt Nichols in the LCQ, I'm like, he's not going to make it because, I don't know, were they five laps or something? And a couple laps in, he was behind Dean, not really like moving forward. Dean kind of was. And then I'm like, he's not going to make it. And he said,
what the hell did the Pope do?
Pope was going for a joyride out in the corner. He was checking out
he fell apart.
Pope looked like when Nichols got by him, Pope looked like he saw like a lollipop stand and had to exit.
But
right.
He had it. Right?
I know. I don't know, man.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Unreal.
So Nichols got in and then rode really well to get a ninth overall. Rode forward in both motos. So Cooper Webb.
That new trophy at the end of this, maybe they just call the new trophy. The SMX trophy is the Colt Nichols Cup.
Why?
Because no one rallies for SMX like Colt Nichols.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Yeah,
truly sort of, performs in
like
this
unsung SMX hero, Colt Nichols trophy. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Cooper Webb. Not great. not great. He looked to be in better shape coming in than he did last year, but he got docked 8 spots for just completely cutting out 5 corners.
I've never heard of 6 spots.
Dude, ever. I mean, honestly, I watched it live. He could have been cut 12 spots. I would have understood it.
Oh, really? Yeah,
He washed out in the turn at split lane after the finish and picked his bike up and just went straight on the concrete and sort of looked at the sand and then made a left. I don't know, man. He just decided he wanted to cut a lot of corners off. And I don't – and he was like all slow about it and, like, looking around. And then just – and we were like – all of us in the press box were like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that, right? Like, that is not – that's
like, not. When I heard on the radio, like her headset, that he had been docked six spots, like, I was like, did he physically assault someone? Like, what did he have to do to get penalized six spots?
He could have been docked for 16, and I would have went, okay, I get it. I get it. Like, he just cut, like, so much of the track out. But not a good
what
weekend.
I think he tried to do, I think he jumped in the same, like, was he behind Cooper? I think he was, like, battling Cooper, maybe.
I don't remember.
And I believe when he came back on, he was back in the same spot. So maybe in his mind, he was like, I know I cut off half the track, but I'm right back in the same position I was when I crashed. But it's like,
I don't think you could do
you
that.
Can't crash and not lose any, like, positions.
Yeah, second one, he got eighth. I think he was further up to start, but yeah. Dylan Ferrandis, 11. Marshall Welton, 12. Good job for Marsh. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
McElrath, 13. Craig had a rough day. Got a foot peg of the head in the first one when he crashed. Came around dead last. And the second one, he went backwards a little bit. So 29 for Craig. What else? Our guy Phil got ninth in the first one, and I think he was ninth or tenth in the second one, and then his shock blew up, and he went for a ride. Only Phil.
I thought he hit a landmine.
He was 40 yards from the bike. I don't know.
Yeah.
He looped out. His fender was broke. Steam was coming from his bike, and then, yeah, he had no shock. So, not in a good mood after the race. What else? Jerry made it through the LCQ again. I didn't realize Jerry made it. We talked about Phil being the LCQ champ last year in the 250 class. 250 class or 450 class? 250 class.
450.
450s? Okay.
Jerry was 450, right?
No, I'm talking Phil last year. Anyway.
Oh, Phil was 450 also.
Yeah, so we talked about Phil. Jerry got in all three last year through the LCQ again, and he did it again this year. So Jerry's 4-for-4 in the LCQs.
Catch your fever.
Hari Kulis? Did we get more?
We did.
Yeah, good. Right on, guys. Great.
Big part of the pre-race show.
Awesome.
Steve.
Great. Can't wait for Dallas. Give me more. Maybe, you know, what they really can do is that the NFL shows, you know, they go in early to have a one-on-one with Caleb Williams or whatever, right? Early. One of you two should go to Estonia. Sit down with Hari's parents.
Already been there.
Yeah. So sit down with Hari's parents, and then we can really do a deep dive for Dallas or Vegas. So I'm going to recommend that. We need more.
Honestly, if it's going to bug you, I hope they keep leaning into it. Like, okay. I don't really care otherwise.
Right.
But to upset you this much, I hope they keep doing it.
Listen, I love Hari. I had him on a podcast last year. He's a nice guy.
You don't.
It's a nice guy. It's a lot of Hari. And enough's enough. So
we were actually in a meeting on Friday. We're going through the rundown, and JT just nudged me, and he's like, look at what's coming up. And it just said Harry Kulas feature.
Oh,
and we're just like,
God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Okay, Lewis agrees with me. So Lewis is on my side. Like, he's just like, what is going on with the Kulas? And I'm like, dude. And then I laid it all out for him. So
I'm sure it was very unbiased and truthful.
Yep. I believe the general theory here is – it's cool that all these dudes, there's probably six or eight, right, are trying to beg, borrow, and steal their way to get in and make the money.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's hard to tell all six stories. So they just pick one that maybe is the best story because he's Euro, so it's even harder to pull off what he's doing. And he's a pretty likable guy, right? It's pretty fun to talk to, good on camera. So I think all that is like, here is our role model of the – it could have been Freddie. Right? Or it could have been Phil.
I don't know, man.
It's the guy to be like, here's the other group. It's not just Tomac and Jet here. We have these other guys.
I get it. I get it. And it does make sense a couple of times. But sweet Jesus, we're turning into the fucking Hari Kulis SMX series. You know?
I think it should be Colt Nichols.
Hey, he almost got the whole shot in the second one from the left side. From the right side of the start, my left. From the right side of the start.
Hey, we told you to keep an eye on him.
He came in hot. And I was like, I think Kulis has got it. So... by the way,
I told you to keep an eye on him. We've been building it up.
I was asking riders, like, okay, so rider left off the start. And I'm thinking left because then you can use your rear brake. But it all worked out that you could sweep the second turn. you know, sweep it in there. And so the right side of the start was better.
I even heard it's so subtle how these things are. You know, they use those start stretches for different parts of the track later in the lap.
Yep.
And they were even figuring out the way the bumps formed. You know, one was more braking bump or acceleration bump. Like the two straights can't be identically.
Right.
The bumps.
Sure.
So even that was making one side better. Right side, left side didn't really matter as much as you would think.
And I really wish they would have left that double in. Did you guys walk the track and see that? That would have been...
Going into the like motocross section?
Yeah, the second turn. There was a super steep takeoff double.
Yeah.
And if they had left that in, we really would have got some carnage. They took it out.
Yeah, because that thing was tough from the inside out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like coming in and rolling it and then having the guys from the outside just go, yeah, like over you. Like that would have been a sight bike. Dean Wilson did not have a good weekend, but I did go see him after practice, and he just wanted to talk about the sphere. So, good job, Dean. I was a fan.
Oh.
Yeah. So, nice to
talk to you. Just because of that.
Yeah, I like spreading the word of the sphere. I feel like, but I'm going this week.
No, this is a new thing? Like, you think that we don't know that you like the sphere?
No, but I just like when Dean's like, hey, man, what's up with that sphere? And then 20 minutes later, he's fully informed about the sphere. Like, I like that Dean was asking me about that.
Okay.
And then Weege, I don't know if I should tell you this, but I spent over $300 on tickets this week to go see U2 concert at the sphere on the screen, though. Like, U2's not there. It's just the video, the film of the concert that I saw already.
You're out of control.
So I just want you to know that, Weege. I knew you'd really like this. I saved it for on air.
At some point, and again, I only have 2 free hours every Saturday, but I feel like the best place to do this would be in the press box. You're going to walk into a room at one time, and suddenly people are going to be all the people that care about you, Steve, all your friends that you hold court with. We will be there with chairs set in a circle and say, Steve, we need to talk. You have a serious problem with these concerts, and I believe it's going to cause major problems in your life if you don't figure out a way to break this addiction.
Are you saying you wouldn't spend money to watch a concert, a video of a concert that you already went to? Is that what you're saying, Weech?
Not even Netflix money. Like, if it was on Netflix and it was $12 a month, I don't know if I would do it. You're actually going to go to a place where you saw the concert to see the concert again and pay.
This is what I wanted. Yeah. $300.
This is a serious problem, Steve.
$300 over $350, I think it was.
This is how it starts. It's just a little gateway thing. Next thing we know, you were busy last week because you had to fly to a Creed concert. And didn't you go to Red Rocks to a different concert the week before?
A few weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Chiz didn't have a good day. I'll just say it, he pooped his pants in the second moto.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not feeling good. Stomach bug.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not Chiz chizzing. That's totally different.
That's just Chiz.
Totally different than Chiz chizzing.
So on our fantasy pod, when discussing Justin Hill, we said, hey, man, if he got 5th or 25th, would you be surprised? And we all said, nope. Well, he got 22nd and looked to be barely riding. I mean, does that fit Justin Hill? Does that check out?
Yeah, man. They came up to lap him, I think, in that second moto, like, oh, just closing on Eli. You're like, oh, don't let the lappers get in the way. Hill had no problem. No problem letting him by.
Hey, man.
He said, I actually talked to him because he won. Oh, he was fastest in the B session. So he was down there doing an interview. And then I grabbed him after that and be like, dude, where have you been?
Yeah.
Why did you race the first 3 nationals, but then not the rest? And he just said he got too busy. Then he was riding good the last couple weeks. He had back problems in Supercross. He was finally feeling better. Then he got hurt at the Big Hill Jam a couple weeks ago. So it didn't really help as far as the expectations were all over the map because he was both feeling good and bad together. But that's the Justin Hill experience. He get 8th next week.
Yeah. Well, okay. So maybe he's hurt and I'm judging him a little harshly, but he looked to have no super competitive drive after the LCQ, but yeah, maybe he'll be better.
Yeah. Maybe.
All right. Anything else 450 wise? Charlotte, SMX?
Hey, I'm going to throw a theory at you here, JT. I'm watching the race happens to be live on NBC. Well, not live, but airing on NBC right live. Now. So I just happened to turn it on. Screw the NFL. We got SMX on NBC.
Yep.
Eli Tomac is a great sand rider. He was asked in the press conference Friday, what's your favorite track? He said any track with sand, right? He's the only rider out there with the scoop tire. Jet Lawrence just eating him alive in the sand section with that double. So I'm like, how is this possible? Now, obviously, Jet has a lot of experience on those gnarly Euro sand tracks. He lived there for a little while. But what about this? There is nobody, I think, that sets up their bike with a higher rear end than Tomac. That's his thing because he loves to dump the clutch, and he just wants to let that thing eat. Are these the types of compromises? Like, that's not the way you set up a bike for a sand turn. Is it subtle things like that, actually, that make, instead of like, why didn't he just go faster?
I don't think that Eli knew that Jet was jumping into the sand.
Oh, really?
I do. I think it was that simple. Wow. That line, like that sand changed like a million times, the way they were going through it. The first moto, Eli was inside, Jet was outside, like, and then would kind of cut back. And I think Jet just figured out that if you swung wide enough on entry, you could line it up to double in. And Eli was kind of coming more straight at it, which changed the angle. And he kind of had to like drop in. And I just think it was something he didn't realize was happening until it was too late to realize it was happening. That's my theory. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Jet's been good. When they have these sand turns in Supercross, he's good everywhere, but he's exceptionally good there. And I was trying to figure out, I'm like, Eli Tomac is good in sand. Why does this continue to happen?
I couldn't
get... Like, what he was doing was not incredible, like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing it. It was just, he figured it out type thing.
I see, yeah.
And I don't think that Tomac knew that line had come together that way.
But I would come, I agree, but Kenny did it, Hunter did it, Justin Cooper did it. So guys that couldn't see Jet were like, hey, I can double in here.
Yeah, yeah, it's on Eli. In the end, it's on Eli, right, to not do it. But I think that, I don't think it was, to your point also, I don't think it's something that Eli was like, yeah, I just couldn't do it, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't think that's
the right. I talked about Renthal and Maxxis off the top, motorsport.com, of course. Go through the banner to help us out, and dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. Great prices on aftermarket parts and e-bikes, street bikes, dirt bikes, UTVs, all that, motorsport.com. Great prices, free shipping, all of that. Maxxis tires, Freddie Norn, you running Maxxis tires out there and putting it into the some good results with Maxxis tires. So Maxxis.com for more information on that. Renthal as well. And Weej, of course, Onyx Maps.
Onyx Maps has 500,000+ miles, I think 600,000 now, of trails mapped out. Mountain bike trails, hiking trails, hunting, application, of course, dirt bike trails, side-by-sides, dual sports, you name it. If you're looking for it, they got it, and it's way more detailed than anything you're getting on regular map apps because it's specifically for this, and people can leave notes and tell you what the trail's like currently and what it's like to ride it, so you can really get an idea of what you're getting into before you get into it. So check out Onyx Maps. .com or Onyx Maps in the App Store and type in RacerX, one word, all lowercase, and we'll give you a discount.
I saw on Strava you went for a mountain bike ride, Weej, last week.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like I never do that. Was that exceptional?
I didn't see too many Strava activities from you lately.
There's a lot of running ones. Are they like filtered by mountain biking for you?
Oh, maybe. Okay.
I wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know.
I did. I got a Yamaha e-bike to try out, Steve.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I got it in July. I literally had not had time to ride it at all until our brief break. You know, we had that whole weekend off. So
now you sound like
crushing it.
Now you sound like Sexton and Jet.
I mean, I get paid every time they have a race. Don't get me wrong.
Does anybody think about my schedule, too? Because I got to go to Disney Nations after a week off. And then I got to go to World Supercross in Vancouver. And then I got to go to Cabo. And then I got to go to Paris. Does anybody think about that? Couple concerts?
Definitely got some concerts in there.
Concerts, yeah. Are we worried about the weight of the e-bike, or we're good? Did we alleviate all those concerns about crushing?
Yeah, my whole hook on this e-bike thing, and I know people love when we talk about this. This is like Gypsy Tales and Jiu-Jitsu of Steve's show to e-bikes. But I've been trying to convince my wife to try one because then we could ride at the same speed. My wife's decent on a mountain bike, but I'm a physical specimen. And if we ride the same speed, she's getting a workout, I'm not. And I'm like, just try one of these. And then, you know, I'll put it in low mode and you put it in fast mode and we'll be the same speed and we'll both get the same level of workout. She thought this monstrosity of a battery bike would crush people. Like, you'd endo and the bike would land on you and you'd just be flattened like a pancake. And I just kept saying, like, have you ever endoed? Have you ever had the bike land on you, ever, in 20 years of riding mountain bikes? But it was going to happen. But I think we're starting to get there. We're making...
Good.
Yeah, she said it was fun the second time.
Well, good. Okay.
Getting there.
All right, sounds good. All right, 250 class, Charlotte. Yeah, Hayden Deegan, man, the class of the field, super impressive, especially the first one. Man, not great starts. He's going to have to work on that, like he mentioned on the podium. But, yeah, 1-1. If you're RJ, if you're Kitchen, not so much Beaumaire, but if you're RJ, your Kitchen, you know, he came up, he got you, and he pulled away. And he was 1-1. And, yeah, class of the field, Weech.
Dude, I hope he doesn't fix the starts, honestly.
Oh, yeah,
this is
true.
Way more fun to watch, way more impressive. And I think he cares about also as far as, like, he definitely doesn't mind sending a message to his competition. It's an easy way to do it, right? So it couldn't have been more symbolic. Like, the one guy left, and we hyped this up, the one guy left that had not tangled with him was RJ. And RJ was apparently yelling at him during practice. Did you hear this?
I heard this, yeah. RJ was yelling.
When they were riding together?
Yep.
And they were like, oh, we're going to get it. We're about to get it right now. And then, can you get anything more symbolic than while Deegan is doing a quad that no one else is doing, RJ is crashing his brains out, and then Deegan looks over at him in the air, and you're like, it just always goes this way. You tangle with Deegan, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. It never even is remotely close to good for any of these other guys when they tangle with him.
I mean, JT, we all know about the podium speeches, and at times, you know, they're a little much. But this one, he could have pretty much said anything because he owned it. Like, he destroyed those guys. So he could have pretty much went up there and said anything he wanted to do, and everyone had to go, yep. It was that good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his motivations are, like why he says what he says when he says it. Like, that's probably a fool's errand to try to understand. But this was an incredibly impressive performance, bar none. Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't love trash talk. It's not my style. But the one rule I have is if you're going to do it, you damn sure better back it up. And he is doing it every single time. This weekend was arguably the biggest example of that. So, I mean, have at it, man. Like, he is proving every naysayer wrong.
Did you guys see anybody in the mains? And maybe I should have thought of this harder because I could look like an idiot here, which wouldn't be surprising. But did anybody in the mains do the quad? I know Marchbanks did it. I think RJ did it in practice, qualifying, all of that. I think
other than Deegan.
Yeah, like in the mains, outside of Deegan. Did anybody try it? Like, he was getting it good. And
I'm pretty sure Beaumaire did it.
Oh, Anstey did it. Anstey figured it out behind Deegan. That's right, in the second one.
I'm pretty sure Beaumaire was doing it early in Moto 1.
And Anstey figured it out. But for the most part, I was really surprised that these elite guys couldn't nail it. Okay, so maybe not as much as Deegan because he's better. But, like, no one really wanted a piece of this quad thing that was clearly faster. It enabled you to double out at the end. And, like, I was just surprised guys couldn't figure this thing out. So more props to Deegan for getting this almost all the time. You know? Like,
yeah, you talked about the pocket ahead, there was go tough. Go ahead, JT. Yeah. You actually have this lined up days in advance.
All I was going to say is I think the prevailing thought going in was that it wasn't really faster and it was much tougher to kind of pull off. So they're like, well, it's not much better. Mm-hmm. Why mess with it? And then that didn't play out at all.
No.
That plan didn't play out at all. So I don't know where the disconnect was because I talked to several people and I even reported it on TV that they're just like, yeah, it's not any faster. We can't really see any difference. So we're just going to take the easy route. And there was a miss there somewhere.
Yeah, I asked Marchbanks about it after the race, and just in a general sense, like, why didn't more guys do it? And I didn't get an answer, so I don't know. He was just, Weege, did you listen to the post-race at all yet, or no?
No,
yeah.
I forgot to do that.
Anyways, I was like, hey, just in a general sense, Garrett, tell me why more guys weren't doing that thing, and he didn't really have a great answer to me, so I was like, all right.
I will say, though, from my experience, I've hit plenty of sections just like that before. It's tough to step off of something because you don't get like a clean transition, right? Like you kind of clip it and then going four from that is pretty challenging. Had it been like a double or a tabletop to single or anything where it's a clean landing and then go, I think you would have seen over half the field doing it, but that step off, then four, is always a little tricky.
He was good, man. He was good. And like you said, Weech, I was RV rubbing my hands together at the RJ part, and I'm like, oh, okay. All right, moving on. as RJ goes RJ. You know?
Dude, he even looked over at Kitchen. We caught this later, that when he passed Kitchen in Moto2, it's like they don't even remotely get, it's not even like I get him sometimes and he gets me more often. It's like one to nothing every time. It's like they never, you know, Unadilla, it looked like, okay, this is just Jaime's day. You're just going to have to bow down and be like, Jaime's just has Unadilla dialed. Nope. Let's see what RJ's got for, nope.
Yeah.
And he was asked in the press conference, he had some good answers actually, about how like he trash talks and he says, yeah, I'm just looking for motivation anywhere. Like anyone says anything at all. He's like, if you guys say stuff, that's just going to help me. And that's totally obvious. But then they said, but you then are also sometimes respectful, like with Juju. And he's like, yeah, you know, good job for him. He got on the podium. He never been on the podium before. It seems like a good guy. But as soon as you become my rival, then I flip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, can't argue that. That is exactly how it plays out.
Yeah. I had someone that kind of knows some of the things that goes on during the week that the Swanepoel, the trainer, is a big part of motivating these guys is his negativity. He's yelling at these guys. He's challenging them, and they use that.
Yeah, well, we've always wondered, you know, when we hear these, this is like time-honored now. Every freaking great athlete is like all these haters and doubters, and we're always like, who are these people? But there probably are people in their corner purposely saying this stuff to get them going.
Well, like Coop, too, right? Webb thrives on that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, so you'd be a fool if you're in their camp and you know that makes them perform better to not be like, hey, you hear what this guy said?
Did you hear he's working with Townley?
I cannot confirm or deny that I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. Working with Townley in New Zealand? Townley's coming over? I don't know. Okay.
I can't confirm or deny it, but it's not in New Zealand.
No. No, I know, but...
It's not in New Zealand.
No, I know that, but I'm just... Yeah, okay. All right. Beaumaire, good job. Yeah, second. Great starts. Led laps, 2-4 on the day. It kind of came out of nowhere, but good job for Juju. Awesome. Kitchen's first one, not so good. Kind of got stuck there a little bit and never could get higher than fifth. Second one, he was second. That was good job by Levi. But I, again, talking about how good Deegan rode, like I was sort of surprised that he didn't win. I was looking at the laps left and the lead. Well, no, Levi screwed up. I didn't watch that. Where did Levi screw up at? I missed that. What did he do? He did a 148 or something.
So you mentioned that double they took
out,
like they would go into the outdoor section?
Yep.
Then there's a double where they come back out of it?
Yeah.
He didn't clear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, massive.
And then Deegan looked back in the air.
Okay. Yeah, massive mistake there. Shimoda was one pass away from making the podium, but he's barely been back on the bike from the broken collarbone. So I'd say fourth overall is pretty good. And then honestly, from there, the rest of the 250 class, like McAdoo had to go to the LCQ, and so I was impressed with his starts in both of them, considering his gate picks, right? Really good starts early on. He was happy to be back. I talked to him a little bit after the race. Anstey rode well in the second one. Like we mentioned, he figured out that quad. Figured out the quad from watching Deegan. Jordan Smith had a quiet day, which for Jordan Smith was, you know, pretty rare. RJ didn't have the day he wanted. Hymus, JT, bad day for Hymus.
Yeah, he. I think he tweaked his knee in the first one. Mm-hmm. And I saw him holding it multiple times throughout the rest of the day. So it's not shocking to me as someone who's raced with torn ACL. You know, some days it's just perfect. You won't even notice it for a month. And then you'll stick it down or make a mistake. And you're like, oh, like you're just in agony. And it's not great the rest of the day. It's just kind of how it goes.
He was on a concrete beside the sand, riding around really slow, and then jumped in at one point in the second.
Yeah, that was when he was holding his knee.
Right.
Right before he jumped back on the track, he grabbed his knee.
Yep.
But yeah, it is a part of racing with a torn ACL, unfortunately.
Yep. Yep. All right. What else? Mumford was back riding for Firepower. Showed good speed. And kind of got tired. He had some clutch problems in one of the mains. I know that he said. Looked like, but he had good speed early on.
He did.
Yeah.
Good qualifying.
Yep.
I crushed the LCQ.
I guess Nate Thrasher crashed out in the first one. I didn't see it. and watch the race.
Oh.
Right?
I did not even know that.
Yeah, he didn't line up for the second one. So, and then Jalik Swole made it 20 feet, KO'd himself, and that was it for his day. And the Savachi obviously didn't race. He broke up with the team. And then, it was kind of funny because the Triumph PR, I'm actually waiting for the Triumph PR to.
Not a triumphant day.
No, not at all. Just wonder what the Triumph PR is going to say. How do you talk about your day from there?
We made it 20 feet. Is that like a, can you make that a positive?
I like how we do the SMX preview show this week. We wait as late as we can because of my concert schedule. And then I say Joey Savacci is my wild card. And, oh, Joey Savacci's not racing. Like, just, you're just like, like, come on, man. Like, just so many things.
I did specifically in there. I said, you know he's racing? Because I was already hearing rumblings.
Okay. So, yeah. No.
I was hearing rumblings earlier in the week about this. Potentially a breakup.
I heard no rumblings at all, and I'm in a group text with Joey and some other guys, but yeah.
Well,
anyways.
It's probably not going to come from him.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, yeah. But anyways, yeah, heard nothing.
It's weird that the PR goes very heavy on, this is very logical, you know, the goal was him, he was going to ride a 450 next year, now the 450 won't be ready, he doesn't want to sit out Supercross 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
We wish him the best, we're helping him out by not taking him back for a second year, we'd love to have him, but he wants to race Supercross, that makes all the sense in the world, except...
Exactly, thank you.
There's 3 more weeks where you could have kept him employed and he could have made a lot of money.
Yep, thank you. I was thinking the exact same thing because Joey shared the PR and Triumph shared the PR and it was all kumbaya, and I'm like, wait... He could potentially make $40,000 in the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
Or
just,
more.
Just 21 more days. That's all we need here.
Yep. So, yeah, Weed, you're right. You nailed that one for sure. Okay. Anything else? So Cole Thompson got in. I didn't realize that they fill in even for the second main event. So I guess if you don't make it out of the LCQ, stick around. You could jump into the second one because, like in Supercross, you can't do that, right?
Motocross, you can though.
Yes, Supercross, you can't. But this one is just like motocross, where you can just jump in the second one if you need to.
Yeah, it truly is super motocross. Like they have all sorts of hybrid stuff from both series,
right? Which I'm fine with. But like Cole Thompson didn't race main one and then got a parade lap and main two. Here we go. But that's fine.
Yeah, why not?
Like, whatever. Yeah.
Well, and think about those points, right? Like those points are going to come in really valuable for the points fund. So.
Yeah. All right, anything else we each 250 wise?
Nope.
Okay. A couple of things to wrap up. Props to Feld. We have a new timing and scoring system. It'll be implemented for Supercross 2025. And man, I guess they just got tired of the AMA. I guess the AMA stuff was just around the corner. You know, they just ran out of time. The 1999 software finally I think is gonna go bye bye. So props to Feld for investing in this. I think they just...
Is there a chance that you're threatening to burn the room down at stadiums across America was the final thing that made this happen?
I forgot about that. Yeah. Maybe.
You said like a month ago, if at Anaheim we're still using the same software, you will let the people leave,
then
you will burn it.
Conrad and everybody can go out, and then I will burn down everything in hopes. Yes. No, I forgot about that, and maybe that was it, Weege. Maybe that was it.
That could have been it. They were like, well, dude, do you hear this?
It's finally, I mean, we got segment times. We got the names of the segments. You know, it wasn't perfect. There were some kinks. There were some bugs. They're going to work it out. I'm not going to say anything because let's give them some time. But much better. And from what I understand, it's going to be implemented going forward. Thank Jesus. Thank the Lord that we finally got rid of the AMA timing and scoring. Maybe we'll finally see who wins Triple Crowns. Maybe. Or laps led.
Or laps led.
Or the actual whole shot. The actual whole shot and not just the first lap. It's insanity. But thank you, Feld. Thank you.
They were definitely experimenting. I know that I don't think this was supposed to come until 25, but I guess it was far enough along to do it here.
Yeah.
So we were watching very closely because we do use some of these results. Obviously, we have results on the RacerX site. So if one thing's messed up, everything else is messed up. And so we were watching very closely. And then everything on Friday worked really well. But I think there were like 2 misspellings. And it honestly gave us a bit of like nostalgia feeling.
It was like,
yeah,
hey, it wasn't quite perfect. And that got us to like warm the heart, because that's what we've just been so used to that for 15 years.
And
that it felt like home.
Did you know what the pilot program was for this timing and scoring?
No.
Oh. Well, just another thing. Another.
No.
Yep. The
don't even say.
The Yamaha LCQ race.
Come on.
Yep. Yep. That's where they busted it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Bink. Trendsetter. Pulpomex Yamaha LCQ race. Thank you.
What's next? A pod mashup?
So we did the pod mashup on Friday. I was going to talk about that. I think it went pretty well. I think it went fun. Ricky.
I thought it was awesome.
James, you two, Gypsy Tales, and me. And we did a sort of a one-on-one to start it. And then the last 30 minutes was all of us on stage at once. And then there was a crowd of maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7,000 there, I'm sure. And and then I it's on Steve Mathis' show feed, so listen to it if you want. I pulled the audio from the YouTube. It's on my YouTube channel as well. Pulp Mex YouTube. I don't know if RacerX is on RacerX YouTube yet. I don't know. Anyways.
We're busy.
So, yeah, it was fun. It went all right. James was...
we got Stu and RC.
James was the star. Yeah, James was the star. He had some great one-liners about his brother, about
James
jumping
was the star. No doubt about it.
Jumping on JT, his brother being a sleeper, and a few other things. James was great. So,
yep.
It was great. That's literally how the show ended. I was getting told to wrap it up over and over.
Yep.
And it ended with, this is for everyone who hasn't heard it, RC saying, JT, he was very nice to you when you were racing because he knew you were Chad's buddy and he didn't want you to try to mess with him when he was lapping you, which was funny.
Yep.
But then James took it to the final level by saying, well, you know how I handle that. I just landed on you.
Well, the shitty part of that is James wasn't lapping me when he landed on me. That's the worst part of all.
Oh,
slander. Just passing me.
He did crash. Yeah. Yeah.
Slander. No, that is true.
Oh.
He was coming from the back. You were ahead of him. Legitimately.
I was an eight. Like, I wasn't like last.
Nope. You were in a good spot.
Yeah.
And then.
You got to take the laugh, JT.
No, yeah, of course. Like, I literally had the Twitter handle,
don't land on me.
I have zero ego each with racing. Something like none. But. The funny
Your Twitter handle was JT don't land on me for years.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Like, I understand in the realm of people I'm dealing with James and RC.
Yeah.
I promise you there's no ego from me.
And James also had a good one about, like, he didn't sleep a lot or crash himself out a lot. Something like that on the track when he raced, you know? Yeah. It's great. It was early on. But I thought that thing went pretty well. And, like, everyone else, I was really worried about... you know, everyone trying to talk over each other or whatever. So, you know, but I think it went okay.
Yeah, we're doing it again. So if you're coming to the next two, we're doing it at 5:00. Let's get a larger crowd over there. 5 to 6 local time at each one. Come on over.
Yeah, it was fun. I didn't like the little digs at me by you each, but I'll take it, you know.
I mean, you even got Salt Lake City arguing with RC in there. You got all the hits in there.
I got Tim Ferry in there. I got... yeah.
Yeah, that was straight at it. Like, it was the first thing you started talking about. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Buns Creek first moto, 97, 125 East. Only got
two,
it all in.
Only two riders ever beat Ricky for a title. Only two riders.
I really wanted to see the reaction. Like, you know, all the big wigs were there. Steve Yaros, who was kind of the head of what we did at Feld for a while, but now he's just the head of Feld pretty much everything completely. Like, he's got a big promotion a couple months ago, but he was there and he was in the crowd. And I was like, I want this guy to get the full Steve Mathis menu and just see if he likes how it tastes or is it too spicy?
Probably.
And I think they thought it was awesome.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. Yeah.
Well, we had a weird standoff in this little meeting that we had during the week where I think they were kind of asking us, like, be yourselves, be loose. We want you to do it because you guys are who you are. And then I think we were afraid on, like, a call to, like, act the way we do on these shows. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like they were like, we know what we're signing up for. That's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's try it. And I don't hear any blowback.
No, good. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, I mean, they told me good job, but you don't know if they're actually, like, just saying good job and then gritting under their teeth like this idiot, you know? But, yeah, they said it. So,
yeah.
Last thing before we wrap up, Fly Racing, RacerX Podcast, 65cc All-Stars. I don't know, man. So this kid jumped. They tell him not to jump the double, the finish line, before the race. He jumps it and gets DQ'd, and then I'm getting tagged in Instagram. Not DQ'd, docked a few spots. And then I'm getting tagged in Instagram about how DC sucks and Supercross sucks and give this kid the win. But it's like, at the same time, these probably people are complaining about kids their whole lives and how everything's so easy for kids and they do whatever they want nowadays and there's no rules and all the things that old people complain about. And then the adult that wrote this kid's Instagram post said, like, we were told not to jump it, but my coach said jump it anyways. Or whatever. Like, I don't know. Yeah, don't jump the jump. Like, good job, kid. It's awesome. Great work. But you jumped the jump when you were told not to. So I don't know. Like, don't jump the jump. Don't be like J-Bone. Don't jump the jumps.
All I would say is this star is brighter for jumping it than it would have been without it.
Sure. But then then all the people tagging me and Davey and Racer X and complaining, like, stop it.
Oh, yeah, that's their fault, though. I guess that's on them.
First of all, Davey is absolutely positively
zero.
To do that.
Zero.
Zero. It was Harv zero. Whipple of the ANA, who is the ANA manager of amateur racing like this, who decided to tell them this. Like, Davey's not even consulted. It's the ANA. They are the rulemakers.
Yeah.
That's just asinine.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it's out there.
Yeah, I got a lot of thoughts on this. It's really what's wrong with society in general. Like, if somebody got hurt on that jump, you'd see 1,000 commenters saying, I can't believe they let these guys jump this jump. That's ridiculous. Do they not care about the rider safety? Then they say, don't jump the jump because we want you to be safe. And then people are like, what's wrong with the world? We've all gone soft. Just let the kid.
Yeah.
It's jump it. And I'm like, you wouldn't be happy either way, for starters. But here's the main point that cannot be argued. Once I found out after the fact that the other riders were told not to jump it, you can't, like, he won because he jumped the jump that the other guys didn't jump. Like, he broke the rule.
Well,
maybe
I think
he
was
passed.
I think he was in the lead when he did it.
No, he was.
Yeah.
But the second place rider was right behind him.
Yeah.
He gained an advantage by jumping a jump that you're not supposed to jump. So how can you let him keep the win?
Yeah, you can't. And
you can't let him keep the win. There's a chance the guy in second was also going to jump it and stay on his wheel, but he lost time because he's like, I'm following the rules.
Yeah. I got mad.
How could you get mad about it? It was the rule.
Don't tag me in this stupid stuff. Everybody's listening. Like, I don't care. Yeah, don't jump it. So that's
all. You can be mad that they told him not to jump it. That's fine. I think it's okay that they told him that. You can be mad about that. That's fine. But you can't break the rule and then say, just let the kid win anyway.
That's the thing I'm getting. It's tagged in is give him the win anyways. You should get the win. And I'm just like, wait, what? Like, this isn't not.
Would that be any different than if Tomac has Jet right behind him? And the red cross flag comes out, and Tomac just jumps to double anyway, and Jet doesn't. And they're just like,
yeah.
He likes Tomac. It's awesome.
Give him the win. Right. Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, it's ridiculous.
Jet would be like, I would have jumped it. I'm not allowed.
Right. All right. Well, round one of SMX. That's it. Jet Lawrence, everybody. Jet Lawrence.
Everybody.
So I didn't even look at the points. Where are we at? Sexton's still leading?
I think it's four. Sexton's
still leading. Jeff's already down by like four or five. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And then I don't know if you guys know about this, but this weekend in Dallas, it's double points.
Oh.
Are you guys aware of this?
It's your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Great.
So I know you two shills would love that. So the 4 points doesn't really matter. And then God knows the next one's triple points. So who knows?
Great.
Who knows what can happen there? We could have Freddie Norn, SMX champion. Triple points.
That'd be awesome. What about Harry Coolis? What if Coolis?
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
See, this is what you're doing to me. What I did to you with Troll Train, and I don't like it.
I'm doing to you what you do to me every day of my.
No, existence. No, just with Troll Train though.
Weege.
No.
I wouldn't disagree, JT.
But I don't like it because I like.
I'm no kidding.
Because I like Harry. It's enough. That's enough. No more. Okay.
Well, Godspeed if Hari ever wins a race. That's all I can tell you.
No more. Hari Coolis. Features, discussions, videotapes. No more.
If Hari gets on a JGR Suzuki 250 and wins a race in the mud, I will never let you live it down as long as you live.
Bondo engaged to Hari's mom or ex-wife or anything like that? Like, is there any kind of... Is Bondo from Estonia?
How does Bondo pronounce Hari is probably the right question.
Yeah, probably. All right.
Or Finland. I don't know which country you have to be from to root for them.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good times. Podcast mashup this Friday in Dallas. Check it out. And, yeah, Fly Racing, Renthal, Motorsport, Onyx Maps. Thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.